Talk the Walk on AM 980 KKMS, more Spirited Talk Radio. We got an interesting little book in my midst. It is called Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? The author, James Sundquist, has done a bang-up job of thoroughly going through the purpose-driven life and laying out for your consideration things that he thinks are not biblical. James, I thank you very much for your time, sir. You've done an outstanding job on this book. James! James! Now, look at that. You told me how to do it, and I've goofed it up, haven't I? James? 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 There you are.
Hello?
Potty break?
Hello?
James?
Can you hear me?
Oh, no, it's my... There you are. James?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, can you hear me on my mic phone with my phone? I'm going to transfer.
Oh, this sounds pretty good, actually.
Can you hear me on this?
Oh, no, that doesn't sound so good.
Okay, I'll switch to my regular phone then.
There you go. You sound great. Hey, the book is called Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? And for anybody who just tuned in, you have done a page by page. Your claim is that 113 of the 334 pages of the Purpose-Driven Life have, would you call them errors?
Well, initially with the accounts of the 40-day examples, they're just glaring, colossal blunders of actual textual facts. But then you get into the actual doctrine and hermeneutics and things, then you get other issues, because the 40 days, you can just go in and find the text, whether it's in Samuel or Exodus, and then you can actually read the text, and is this what happened in the 40 days? Other cases, like where he's talking about prophecy, it would be a false teaching simply because it doesn't match the context of the scripture, or it's an erroneous translation. And some of the, I think the others, most of the glaring statements of what he says about prophecy, for example, that he considers a distraction and that Jesus quickly changed the subject. And the fact is, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm just listening. Yeah,
so quiet. I couldn't tell. And this to dismiss prophecy so much. First of all, that's factually wrong. Jesus didn't switch the subject. In fact, he went into great detail, both in the Olivet Discourse and during the time when he performed miracles on the earth between the resurrection and the ascension. So he goes into great detail explaining prophecy, and the Apostle Paul even encourages Timothy in telling him that you war a good warfare with prophecy, so in sound doctrine. So his statements about both doctrine and prophecy are just nothing short of astonishing.
All right, now Jim, I want to get into more of this with you, because I find it just, well, sometimes in your book it almost is breathtaking, quite honestly. If this is speculation, or if this is gossip, or if this is digging into a judgment area that is not biblical, just say so, all right? Because we don't want to be playing in that territory.
Right.
What's going on here? I mean, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. Well, I read that and I went, well, of course he does. I mean, these are so many, mistake upon mistake. How could so much sloppiness happen? The guy's a pastor of a big church.
Well, it's astonishing to me that first editors at Zondervan wouldn't have caught all of these blunders, but then the hundreds of the pastors that have now been implemented this program, and they and I know when they do campaigning for it, they're going to bring a pastor in and they go over their credentials with a fine-tooth comb and they candidate them, et cetera. They go over their teachings, hopefully, but for some reason that Rick Warren has gotten a free pass and somebody didn't bother to even check out the textual errors, the factual errors that they could easily have done by just being a good Berean, which we all should be. I'm not trying to pretend to be a scholar here, although I've done a lot of scholarly research, that any Christian can go to the Bible and they can line up the text if they would just be a good Berean and find out whether these things are true or not, the very thing that Paul commended the Bereans for. So it's not rocket science, Todd. Is it true or is it not true?
Yeah, but it's like, wow, it's so... Okay, page 85 of your book, sir. Rick Warren writes, God won't ask about your religious background or doctrinal views. your problem with that, sir?
Well, I take it from your tone that that's a problem for you without my...
Well, I'm trying to let you be the bad guy for a change. I get a little weary from it. So I'm trying to let you just do it.
Let me just do it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, without doctrine, the foundations, our moorings, are completely crippled in Christianity. Without sound doctrine, we do not know what to believe. We do not know how do you identify a false teacher without having sound doctrine in order to identify who in order to mark, because we are to mark false teachers, and how would you know a false teacher from a true teacher if you did not have doctrine in order to determine that?
And well, that's 2 Timothy 3:16 makes it so clear that doctrine is indeed important. All right, sir, speaking of false teachers, maybe I shouldn't say it that way, but Rick Warren quotes Brother Lawrence and advises us to practice his presence. Okay, Brother Lawrence, well, he's a brother, and we should practice his presence.
Well, there's an example of it on face value. Who could not want to be in the presence of the Lord? And if someone says they're a brother and they say they're a Christian, you like to hope all things that they are. But the problem with that is that, and he's not the only one. Rick Warren quotes a number of Roman Catholic mystics, and I think we've got collective amnesia because that the Christianity evangelical church has completely forgotten about the Council of Trent and I think at least 100 places anathematizes or condemns all Christians that are not Roman Catholic. Not to have this be a show on Roman Catholicism, but nevertheless to promote Roman Catholic mystic after Roman Catholic mystic, through which he does time after time, and he promotes Richard Foster, who promotes a lot of Roman Catholic mysticism.
Prayers?
Yes. And again, it's an example of couldn't one on their way to, or they're driving the car, say a prayer under their breath. That is not what that is meant, any more than what he's saying that meditation is. The biblical meditation is to not open up the mind and let all kind of things flow in. It's to gird up the loins of the mind to guard from things from wandering in and experiences and mystical ideas and visions and things that supposedly that experience now makes us more spiritual.
All right, sir, we've got to do this really quick because we're almost out of time here, sir. So inside of your book, he basically quotes / endorses Brother Lawrence, Richard Foster. You kind of make a connection to Carl Jung, pantheists such as Julian of Norwich, John of the Cross, Richard Foster, who is, well, he's big trouble for the church these days, Buddhist sympathizers Thomas Merton and Henry Nguyen. He's quoting all of these people inside of his book?
Either in the book or on his pastors.com website or from actual quotes from sermons, or in his purpose-driven life church. And, of course, he has a purpose-driven life manual, too. And then, of course, that's to say nothing of his purpose, his training manuals for leadership training manuals that pastors only get initially, and they tell pastors what to do with what Rick Warren calls resistors, that they only hold things up. They're pillars in the church. They only hold things up, is how he puts it. And so this training manual teaches how to get rid of resistors in the church. And sure enough, Gardendale Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas, followed his training manual, and they ousted 165 members from that church.
They've actually got a program. If you aren't going with the program, they've got a method set up to deal with what are they called?
Resistors.
Resistors. And I'm just going to guess here. It's because they are causing division. Is that the issue?
Yes, and they'll put it in terms of that God has raised up your shepherd, and he's the leader of your congregation, that you need to do what he is telling you to do because he's God's anointed, and that if you go against that, you're rebelling against authority. And so they announce this to the church, and then anybody who is not with me is against me, and they find out who's against you, and then they have a...
And you're out of there.
You're out of there.
All right, last question for you, sir, is this. To those people who say, hey, come on, man. How many, for instance, James Sundquist, your book is called Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church. How many books have you sold?
Well, they just sold out of their first printing, so I'm a gnat on a camel compared with him.
Yeah.
A few thousand books we sold out, and they're in the second printing. But he sells a million a month. So my hope is that this book will be...
Yeah, but he must be doing something good because of his numbers. Your response?
Well, then, to use that argument, then Gideon would need to have a bigger army, and what did God do? He trimmed his army down. If you preach the gospel, you're going to cause division in the church, and if you preach it very authoritatively, and it's in errant scriptures, etc., very conservatively, you actually will find your church getting smaller and smaller, not necessarily larger. And Noah preached and he had no conversions. And Jonah preaching, they have 100% conversion. So it's nothing about, we're not, there's no scripture that says that we're called to grow. We're called to preach the gospel, and God might increase, he may not increase. But that's in his hands. It's not our job to do that.
So the pragmatic method of identifying success because the numbers is simply not biblical.
That's absolutely correct. And another, and these are pillars of his, of his teachings. It's not a matter of it's an anecdote off to the side. Did you want to tell people where they can obtain this?
Yes, sir. Where do we get this book? It's from Bible Belt Publishing. How does somebody find this book, sir?
Okay, and Bible Belt Publishing is the publishing arm of Southwest Radio Church Ministries, and they can call 1-800-652-1144, or they can go on the swrc.com website to order. And because they've blown out of the stock of it, that you can also obtain it on Amazon. And the book is entitled Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church? And I'm the author, James Sundquist.
Thank you very much, sir, for your time. We appreciate it very much.
A great pleasure being with you, Todd.
Nice job, sir. Thank you very much. It's worth a read. It's worth a read. 651-289-4499. Your phone calls next on Talk the Walk AM 980 KKMS. More Spirited Talk Radio.